So exciting. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast.
Oh, we got
all Spanish. So fancy in Russian.
Oh, Russian. Horrible.
Oh, me, my accent is just horrible. Oh. This is the podcast where we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we dissect it like a frog in high school science class. Ugh.
My favorite.
That was the best part of high school.
The best part. I'm Anthony DeSimito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have an amazing, super awesome guest from Chicago, all the way from Chicago, the very awesome Maria Konopkin.
Hi.
Yay! Thank you for being here, Maria.
Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, we're so excited.
It's a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Yay. How's Chicago? What have you been up to up there?
Doing improv, keeping a 9-to-5 job so I can do improv. Just having a lot of fun. It's getting warmer, kind of. I don't know. It was negative 20, so now it's 60, so that's warmer.
That's warmer.
Yeah, so
it's warmer.
You can break out the summer parka.
I didn't feel comfortable washing my summer coat until 2 weeks ago because I was just paranoid it was going to snow in June because it was super rainy, and then one day it's going to snow, and
right.
I don't know. Just, yeah.
that's incredible. Well, yeah. Now you're here, the opposite of that.
I love torturous weather. Like July, like, in Phoenix, great.
You're sure. Either super cold or super hot.
Yeah,
no in between for
you. Like my relationships.
Right now we're in a cold spell. It's, I think, 102.
I know. I looked at the weather. I was like, oh, it's only 95. I can maybe wear a long skirt. Should I bring a sweater? I'm so confused.
I could put on a cardigan today.
I know.
It's so cold and chilly.
I know. I was going to wear a shorter skirt, but I'm like, oh, man, I might freeze.
So we usually ask our guests, what's their Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls shaped or destroyed your life?
So my Golden Girls background is I watched on reruns, not all of them, just whatever was on TV. And then, I saw that you had a podcast, Anthony. I love Anthony, just FYI.
Yay!
And so I listened to it because Anthony's entertaining. And, your friends always have a podcast. You're like, yeah, I'll listen to it. And you listen to the first episode. You're like, I can't with this. But your guys is oh, I'll listen to it on the train.
Yes.
So then I'm laughing on the train, but instead of just keeping it in, I'll start laughing like a crazy person on the train, which with Chicago Transit, I'm not crazy, but in my head, I'm everyone's staring at me as I'm laughing to myself.
No, I think most people on Chicago Transit are laughing to themselves.
Yeah. They have no headphones on. They're just cackling over by themselves.
Yeah. Oh, I saw this guy a couple months ago. Smoking a cigarette on the train. I was like, you can't. Well, I didn't say that, but some guy was like, you can't be doing that. And he gave zero
fucks.
Zero fucks. And he continued to smoke it. And then it's rush hour too. It's 5:30 on a Wednesday, and he just lays down on four seats and just chills. And I'm like, how long do I have to be on this train for?
Wow.
I took a picture, but you had to be there to get it. It's just crazy.
Was it a cigar or a cigarette?
It was a cigarette.
A cigarette.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
and
not
I looked more to make sure it was a cigarette or weed, but it was definitely a cigarette.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
This guy is my hero.
I know. I want to live a life where I give zero fucks.
One day I just hope to snap where I'm just fucking light a cigarette at the light rail and just I don't know. I
no.
do not care.
No.
I'm having a bad day.
Right.
I need this.
I'm having a bad day. You should go on how food's unhealthy for you. You're drinking alcohol. The clothes you're wearing are killing you. And the cell phone you're using is causing cancer. My cigarette will do shit.
Yeah. Everything's murdering us.
Yeah.
So we watched a very layered episode.
Layered?
Yeah.
That's a nice way to put it.
It was a recap episode, but not really, because we had not seen any of the footage of this before.
Right.
But it treated it like a recap footage. The writers were trying to be edgy.
Right.
We're going to fool them into thinking it's a recap. But it wasn't. season 2, episode 17.
You have to try harder to trick us.
Yeah.
We're smart.
We watched every single episode. We know that that's not a recap episode. It's called, the title is Bedtime Story. The original air date was January 24th, 1987. Oh. And yeah, 30 years ago.
87.
So that's 28. All right. And sure. 28. Okay. And as we do with every episode, Genevieve, would you like to do a synopsis of what we watch for our listeners?
Oh, sure. So the ladies find out that they each have relatives coming into town, which we basically constantly have people come into town.
Right.
So, but they have like several relatives coming into town at the same time, and they're going to have to sleep with each other to accommodate those guests. So they tell stories about the times they slept together.
In like the 2 years they lived together, or three, whatever it is, there's been a lot.
There's been a lot of sleeping drama in the right. house for a normal household.
Right. I read the synopsis before I watched the episode, and all of a sudden I was like, this seems like college. This seems like people who can't afford anything. Like
no one can sleep on the couch. Right. No one. There's a couch out there in that living room.
And but it's like a wicker couch. Like, that is not a sleeper sofa.
Well, you're right. Every time we see someone sleeping on the couch, it does not look comfortable.
That's
you're
true.
Right. No. Yeah. But there's no... Yeah, like, it's like a... No one can sleep on... Make a bed on the ground. No one... Everyone's just asleep on a bed. Right. And so there's a lot of issues that we have with this episode regarding...
So many.
And the first... And so they go through the history of their sleeping arrangements as in a form of flashbacks throughout the whole episode. And so the first scene is Sophia cooking in the kitchen at night because she can't sleep. Mm-hmm. And she's cooking ziti sausage pesto along next to a other dish. That is not that delicious that Rose is cooking.
Right.
Chip beef.
Yeah.
To be served over burnt toast.
Right. And that is, you called it homeless food, Genevieve. It sounds like leftover, this like something you feed your cat when you put it together, the leftovers together.
This is definitely like a last resort food.
Right.
And Rose is just kind of cheerfully cooking. Cheerfully and and willingly cooking chip beef.
It's almost like her growing up, maybe she was poor.
Right.
And then like her parents were like, we're creating this fancy meal for you. Mm-hmm. And she like bought it.
And it's cream. It's cream and shredded beef served over burnt toast.
And so she thinks it's like a delicacy.
She's a struggle meal.
She's like, ooh, we're going to have eggs and potatoes? Oh, how fancy.
Breakfast for dinner? Oh, my God.
We're rich.
We've made it, you guys.
This is our London broil.
Yay. London broil, improv group, for, Renaissance Fair, right? London broil, they're acrobatic. Have you seen them?
Yeah, that's great. London broil. Sounds good. I'm sure there is.
Rose comes in and she's like, you know, Dorothy. No, I think Blanche comes in first. She's like nosing around.
Yeah.
You know, I hate it when like you're cooking something and then like your roommate's like, I'm hungry.
Right.
And then you're like, well, get your own fucking food. I'm like, this is.
Sometimes I like that, but like other times I cook way too much food. So I'm like, you need to eat everything because I can't. Right. Because then I'll eat everything and then I'm 700 pounds and it's just downhill from there.
Please help me eat this. Yes. No, that's a good point.
I think she was making a feast for some people. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, she can't sleep, so she's making sausage and peppers.
Right.
Yeah
That's a that's like a hour and a half process of cooking a meal.
That or like it's also not very good for heartburn, so it's almost like she's giving like her heart like some kind of like exorcism. Like she's trying to
Satan is in her heart.
Get out of my heart.
This food will make an escape. And so Dorothy comes in. Oh, Rose comes in and she's talking about her chipped beef. And she makes a Sophia makes a reference to Beetle Bailey, which I kind of start connecting now that we're talking about
that.
Oh, yeah. Chipped beef is homeless people food. And
Beetle Bailey, if you don't, if you aren't aware, if you don't have the knowledge that I do about sad old comic strips, basically he was a college student, and then he became basically like this private in like the North Carolina army base. Like, he doesn't see combat. He mostly
He
just works in like this inept like soldier who works in like the kitchen at like some kind of like Fort Bragg like
did the comic start off with him being in the military, or
I think it started around the Korean conflict. I know way too much about this.
Oh, wow. So we never saw Beetle Bailey in college.
I think you did in the early... I never personally saw him. I just knew that was like... That's what someone told me.
Like, it would be cool if we saw him like through like stages of life, like after the military when he has like PTSD and like
trying to raise a family.
Right, this is like Beetle Bailey's life.
Has to go back to the army. Oh, that's American Sniper.
These vet hospital like scenarios.
Not be able to get health care. Oh, too soon.
It's him in some like Article 99 type scenario.
And then he's on a recruit poster like, you could be just like Beetle Bailey.
Yeah, right, he become a spokesperson.
I don't think he saw combat. I think he just saw like inept like army service.
I think he was like a professional potato peeler. I that's all I remember him doing, is peeling potatoes in the comic.
That's a skill.
Yeah
I believe he got yelled at a lot
by the fat sergeant guy. His boisterous commander. And so Dorothy comes in and she's like, yeah, Uncle Vito's coming to visit. He's gonna be here for like a whole week, and that's it. Like, she's very like, this is happening, and
which is super rude when you have roommates, by the way. Don't even ask.
FYI. Mm-hmm. And then Rose is like, well, I think it was her cousin Milo is coming for the 14th annual. I'm sorry.
They made a bad joke about that. That's all I remember.
14th annual Hog Expo. It's hard to forget. Yeah, it's hard to forget this. Hog Expo.
Right.
Which I imagine is either life or dead hogs.
I imagine like squealing pigs. Oh, both. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. They're all in the same room.
That was my brother.
Well, Miami is, you know, they have Cubano sandwiches. It's a big pork.
Is it? It's a big pork. So maybe her cousin is Cuban.
Her cousin is Cuban.
She's white. Her cousin's Cuban. It's cool.
His name is Milo.
Yeah, Milo's a Cuban name. Everyone knows that. And so this creates a conflict because Rose was going to stay in Dorothy's room. And Dorothy didn't remember that, which is kind of weird because she's like the organized person in the house. And so now Dorothy's gonna stay. She says she's gonna sleep with Sophia, but then Rose would have no room still, so they'd still be short of a room because one, like, I think fucking Milo and fucking Uncle Vito should share a fucking room.
Right.
They're both grown men.
Or an air mattress. Like, put in the living room or something.
Yeah, sleep on the ground. Yeah. Like, this is... Yeah, like, I couldn't understand why they couldn't figure...
I think it's time for a fold-out couch. I think that's really the point of this episode.
There you go. Yeah,
yeah. It would have solved all their problems.
That would have been a much better ending. Yeah. Let's get a fold-out couch,
They're at a fold-out couch store. Fold out couch or Russ.
A salesman that looks
like, hey, what a fold out couch, guys.
The whole episode is just them going to IKEA. They're just like solving their problem.
Testing the girls' relationships. IKEA.
IKEA. Testing their, yeah, that's what you do there.
Yeah. Again, hot and cold relationships.
And then like half the other episode is them building the folding couch,
arguing about it. Like, what does this tool even mean?
What is? Why is there no words in this instructions?
Then they make a really bad Swedish joke.
Yeah, they make a lot of racist Swedish jokes. Yes.
Which Rose is really offended by.
Right.
She's like, you guys.
Or she's a master of building. Oh, because yeah. She, yeah.
I think we just wrote an episode I for think we them.
Just, this episode would have been so much better than what we
well,
saw.
Well, later we saw like Rose with like a wrench and like a screwdriver. Right. And she's like holding it. It's like, I was trying to turn on the heater. And I'm like, I'm not a person that knows how to turn on a heater or whatever this is. But I'm sure those tools are not it.
She just banged the fucking heater yeah. with her.
And like Rose, like, I mean, other episodes, like, it's cute that she's like kind of like, oh, I don't know what's going on. This episode, I was like, annoying. I would hate her as yeah. a roommate.
Yeah, she was so annoying.
Yeah.
It's one thing when like it's funny, they're on a date, she's being silly. Yeah. But when it's like you're ruining our, you know, peace in the house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she, it's just like a poor quality of like how women should act around men. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, right. Fuck off.
Right.
I said that a lot this episode. All my notes are like, no, fuck off.
Right. 80s is pretty, they didn't know what misogyny was. Yeah.
Which we later find out.
Yeah. The last episode we find out.
Well, like the way they solve misogyny was with shoulder pads.
Yes.
So
we are basically men because we're wearing shoulder pads.
They're like, is that enough, ladies? You still make 60 cents on a dollar.
You'll like it.
Back then it was like 40 cents on a dollar.
Thank Here, you for
we'll
being
make your
a
hair
friend.
Bigger. It'll be fine.
As your hair will be bigger, all yeah. will be good. Mm-hmm. And so they get into this whole ordeal about who's sleeping with who, because Dorothy snores and then Rose talks in her sleep, and so they talk about how they start to flashback. Like fucking Wayne's World. And they talk about the situation, and it goes into Sophia's room.
Yeah.
And Sophia's sleeping by herself, door wide open. Yeah, that's how she sleeps.
Yeah.
And Dorothy snuggles up next to her, mm-hmm. because the heat is out, like right. we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
And so Sophia's kind of turned on by the presence of
someone
her daughter.
Touching her.
Yeah. I read it differently. I read because she started talking about her. She was like, Salvatore.
Right.
Yeah. Her dead husband. Take off your shirt if you want to fool around. You get linguine all over me.
All over me. I saw it as like Dorothy's like manliness. Like she sensed it. And so that's why she thought.
I saw it as Sophia saying, oh no, this is Dorothy crawling into bed with me. I'll start talking about having sex with her dead dad.
Oh, so she was awake. And so she's like, oh fuck. Like she could tell that the heat was not working and she's gonna fuck with her until she gets out.
Oh, I thought she was just I thought it was her dead husband. Like that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. It was her dead husband, Salvador? I don't remember. Maybe she's thinking of like a cabana boy named Salvador. Or Salvador is an Italian name.
Salvatore.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think I don't know. It's conceivable. Salvador, I think that's her husband's name. I'm pretty sure that's
because
but,
I think of El Salvador and I think of like.
Well, this is Salvatore.
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 Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought it was Salvador. So I thought of an ethnic person.
She could have slept with either a Salvatore or a Salvador. She probably slept with both.
They did three takes, and that was the one that took.
That's the one that took Salvatore.
Salvatore.
I mean, I think Salvatores and Salvadors right. like linguine. I think most people like linguine. So.
Yeah, you're right. A Salvador would not eat linguine.
All
right.
He might. He's hungry. He's like a banana boy. They don't make that much money. She's like, look, this lady who can cook. I'm going to eat me some.
She lured him in with linguine.
By shaking like a snake. She's like, come eat my linguine, baby.
Come in my linguine. Come in my linguine.
So then, don't get any clam sauce on me.
Oh, yeah. I got 10 pounds of clams in my refrigerator.
As we gestured to
we're
crotch.
Pointing at her crotches, listeners. So Dorothy, she talks about, it's so funny because this comes up twice, but like she reminisces into like her childhood and then talks about Mrs. Doolittle, her doll.
Yeah.
And, which is just like, oh, she's working out some issues there. Right. Definitely. And so she's like, this reminds me of when I was little and I was like, whoa, I'm squared. Yeah. And so,
I felt like when she delivered both those like monologues of like her childhood, it was like the actress Dorothy was like, I'm going to deliver this like it's an Academy Awards speech. And then she's like, Mama, remember when we were in Brooklyn and it was so cold? Right. Blah, blah. I'm like, you're comparing the weather in Brooklyn to Miami? Like, what? Huh?
And it would be weird if they're sitting at the kitchen table and she's reminiscing about reminiscing.
Right.
Like she's like double reminiscing. And then so that would be just kind of.
It's like double negative.
Double negative. Yeah. That's like the inception of reminiscing.
Yeah. Right? That's real.
Because you have to. And so let's remember that all of these things are being stated at the kitchen table.
Right.
And so.
Yeah. And also, like, how cold could it possibly be in Miami? Yes.
Everybody is freezing.
Yes. They're like super cold.
Because Blanche comes in and then Rose comes in and everybody's freezing. Even Blanche is wearing like a parka.
Yeah.
Like,
this is the parts I get mad at. Like, granted, I've only been living in Chicago for a year, but like when it was very cold and I would see advertisements for like Vegas or Arizona, like at the train station, and I'm wearing a parka and like covered up and I have like a ski mask, I look like a robber. I was just, I was like, maybe I shouldn't be wearing this as a minority, but whatever, I'm warm. But I would get genuinely mad at the advertising, be like, stop with this. Like, nobody cares. Like, do not advertise to these people when it's like negative 20. So then when I saw this parka, I was like, getting those feelings of mad again. I'm like, it's just an episode. They don't know your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you really wear a ski mask?
I have a picture. And like Brian Gertie's, I sent him a picture and he calls me an improv ninja. Because it's really like, I'll show you a picture later.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's, you have to survive.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. So but my mom bought me this like mask and I like covered up everything except for my eyes. But then when I walked, I had to like put my head down because my eyes would get so dry.
Oh, so,
my God.
This story's way more interesting.
See, here you just wear a ski mask if you're going to rob a store.
Right. And that before when I had a ski mask while living in Phoenix, like when I robbed grocery stores or whatever, I'm not incriminating myself. No, but
she gave you the ski mask when you used to rob stores.
Yeah, she's like, mija, take the ski mask and don't ask any questions.
Mija, you will need this in Chicago.
Yes.
Oh, do you use that today? Okay. Do you want to send me some money?
She's like, don't get your prints on it.
You wash it with this bleach. Thanks.
And so everybody gets into the bed. Rose sort of like tried to fix it.
Then she turns the AC on.
She turns the AC on. So she fucks it up royally. So everyone, like Rose gets in there with her bunny slippers, like you mentioned.
Right.
Yeah. So it's that cold. Survival status.
In Miami.
Because it's Miami. Yeah. They're insane. Like, it doesn't get unnatural. Like the lowest it would get there would be like 40.
Right.
And that's not cold.
Right. You're not going to freeze to death.
It's like here. I mean, the coldest it gets here is like just below freezing. And that's like once or twice a year. And that's in the middle of the night.
Right.
And it's fine. I mean, like, I'd probably turn on my heater like twice a year.
Yeah, or just put another blanket on people. Like,
I turn my heater on maybe 2 weeks worth out of the year. Yeah. And then Blanche is like Kenny from South Park, just like super out of control. And so because they say that she has an electric blanket, Sophia. Mm-hmm. So she's the only one that that we can sleep with. And so they're all like in like Charlie and Chocolate Factory in yes. the bed. Like fucking salmon. Like they're
good reference.
Except like half of them aren't sleeping on the other side. Like
that image, by the way, that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, when all the grandparents would sleep in the bed together, that has depressed me more than anything I've ever seen. Like, yeah. I was just like, they don't even have their own pets.
What did you do, you grandparents did wrong in your life that you have to depend on your kid to just sleep in this one bed? Like, this is, the problem starts with you. And
right.
Then
yeah. Like, they were no all shit. Sick. Yeah. Yeah, it was just really messed up.
It's like, I'm going to start saving for my retirement right now.
Sorry, Grandpa, you got laid off. Oh, shit.
They probably all had, like, severe case of syphilis or just, you know, they partied too hard and didn't really think through. It was a depression. Was it the depression? No, because it was in England, wasn't it?
It was England in the 60s.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No.
Yeah, they were doing good there.
They just fucked up with their lives.
They're bums.
They're like, sorry, we thought we were gonna die young. We spent all our money. Can we sleep on this one bed? Sorry.
But oh, you're going to go to a chocolate factory? I can magically walk.
Right, exactly.
I'm gonna learn how to walk and
I can dance.
I can dance and sing.
All of a sudden when you said that, I don't know if you guys saw this. This is like a long, long time ago. But MTV followed Old Dirty Bastard when he was like alive in a limo with his family to cash in his food stamps, I think it was, or get food stamps. Whoa. Or something like that. Like basically like cheating the government.
He's like, yeah, let's bring cameras into
this. MTV cameras. And then they showed this. You can find it online. I was like, what
was it like True Life? I'm really an old dirty bastard.
I don't know.
He's like, this name is not a joke.
Yeah. He's like, I know it sounds like I have a lot of money. And then I just go, hey, baby. And then he just starts singing, me and Mariah. I need some food stamps, Mariah. I need pacifiers for my baby. That's the worst impression of Dirty Bastard ever.
I need some WIC approved.
WIC approved.
I'm not even going to try.
So then Rose decides to pray. And she's like, I forgot to pray. And so Blanche goes, oh God. And then
she says that a lot.
And then Rose says, wait your turn, Blanche.
Hilarious.
I love that joke. It was probably such a well thought out joke. I was like, oh, that's very clever. But yeah, so then God talks to her. Dorothy pretends to be God. And she buys it. And she goes to bed.
How did this woman get through 60 plus years of life,
yeah.
And is this big of an idiot?
I don't understand that.
You're not observant. Clearly that's your friend. You idiot.
It boggles my mind. Yeah. There's a moment where I have to suspend my disbelief and be like, okay, she really is that.
But dumb. I feel like, I don't know, I'm going to go on the defense of Rose here and just say that being that stupid is kind of a way to protect yourself from some of the world's horrors.
That's true. I mean,
yeah.
Right. I think we did talk about like something happened to her and that's why she acts the way she does.
Yeah.
Like there's been episodes where it gets really psychological with Rose. Like she goes nuts. Like, there's been episodes where she like buys a gun because she's like scared that someone's going to break into the house. Mm-hmm.
She definitely has like a jail, like a prison fantasy, like basically like queued up in her head.
Right.
She's afraid to go to jail also. Another episode. She's like, she thinks she's going to end up in jail.
I think that's a common fear, but that makes sense.
Right. And so then the flashback ends and they're back at the kitchen. Right. And that is when Dorothy hides the food during the blackout. And so nobody wants to take, like, Dorothy didn't like the chipped beef. Mm-hmm. It was like when we saw the close up, it was like of the shipped, the chipped beef.
Right.
And it was really gross looking. And it took me a while to realize it was chipped beef. Like that, I thought her plate was empty because of the cream. I thought it was the plate.
It it glistened in a way that was very unappetizing. I don't know. I'm not a fan of creamed beef of any kind.
Yeah, it just sounds disgusting.
Right. I like I used to like beef helper. And that was kind of creamy, but it had noodles.
Oh, like a hamburger helper?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like a hamburger helper, and it was creamy, but it wasn't bad.
No, that's like, I mean, there's like beef taco.
Yeah.
There's also cheeseburger macaroni.
Like, that stuff's good if, you know, you could put some stuff and be good with that. Mm-hmm. This was struggle plate. Like,
right, struggle food. Yeah. Yeah. Charlie and Chocolate Factory food.
Hey, Grandpa, dance for this.
Dance for this, Grandpa. Bah, bah, bah. And so I did notice that the stage management got this right. You saw the thunder and then you heard it.
Right.
Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. Like I was like, there's a flash and then you heard that. I was like, oh, somebody, somebody in theater did this. Yeah. Somebody in theater got hired and was in charge of light and sound or they just missed the cue by a second.
No, I like to think that they thought of it and they were really proud of it. Would not shut up about it for days.
They went home and told their wife, like, hey, they did this right.
They did not know until I told them.
Yeah.
You know, first you see thunder, then you hear it.
Yeah. That was me. I'm their lightning guy.
Right. He won an Emmy for that. He thanked it in a speech.
A lightning Emmy.
It's the 80s. Anything goes.
And the award for best thunder, lightning then thunder award goes lightning. To Golden Girls. Sound
his like. Whole reel is just like lightning stuff for like China Beach and Water.
I imagine like the first part is like bad lightning and thunder sequences, and then it shows his lightning and thunder sequences. Like he did the lightning for Back to the Future.
His lightning reel is acting reel or whatever you call it. It's just lightning.
So those other lightning clips, they're garbage.
He got hired for Benjamin Franklin. Lifetime made for TV movie.
And then at his funeral, that's all they showed. It's like David Smith was a lightning thunder expert. Here's a part of what he meant to his life. When he was a bad father, sure. A bad husband, sure. But look at this reel.
The lightning and thunder spatial timing is impeccable.
Oh. He's living in the clouds now. Aww. Sending us down.
Every time
lightning
I see
bolts.
A thunderbolt, I think of him.
And then I see the thunder, lightning.
Oh man. And so the thunder scares them, which reminds them of a story in the past. Ooh. Where Rose was scared of, I don't know if it was, I can't remember if there was lightning or thunder during that moment, but she was scared because two Georgia state penitentiary convicts escaped, and they were obviously going to murder them.
Of course,
Of course, because it's not a 7-hour drive. If they just escaped, and they're gonna show up.
It's much longer. It's like a 10-hour,
yeah.
Well, I mean, those guys that just escaped from jail, like they were like a couple hours away from the jail. First off, idiots. Second off, like, I mean,
yeah, they were just a couple hours.
Yeah, away. Yeah. And then they're like, we're gonna go to Mexico, but this lady like couldn't get us there. I'm like, you were on the run for 3 weeks and you got 3 hours.
Yeah,
like there's a walk.
That's laziness.
You're just lazy. And then they're like, well, our plan didn't work out, so we just drank and smoked the whole time. I'm like, okay, sure.
Is that really what they did?
No, the guy that got caught, the Tom Green looking one, when he got caught, like he's singing like a canary. I really can't wait for that movie.
That
really
is amazing. Yeah. Like, we got out to get loaded.
Well, they escaped from the manhole, which then they didn't cover. And then the lady didn't show up. So they're like, well, what do we do? We're just going to smoke and drink. I'm like, you had 3 weeks. Get
three
on a
weeks,
train.
Get
do
on
something.
A train and then smoke and drink.
Yeah. Get to Mexico. Do stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've learned that you can smoke and drink on a train if you want to.
Yes, that's what we learned in this episode. And if you're dressed as a clown.
Dressed as a clown.
Like if you're dressed as a clown.
This episode was so bizarre, it's such a weird episode. They were probably smoking and drinking, like, do you know what would be really funny is we put them all on the bed together. How sexy is that? 60-year-old women. Ow!
They're all wearing flannel nightgowns. Yeah. One of them farts.
I do appreciate a good fart joke.
I do like that. She was farting under an electric heated blanket.
Oh,
which
man.
Which is the worst.
Yeah, it's worse than a Dutch
oven. But they heard it first.
Yeah.
They heard it first.
That thunder guy was involved. He's like, you need to hear it first.
And then see.
And so Rose, in this flashback, Rose comes in scared. And she wants to sleep in Blanche's bed. Which, and then Blanche is doing her makeup.
Right.
She's plucking her. She looks all dolled up.
Right.
Because she's going to bed. She has to look pretty for the convicts. If they come in, they need to find her attractive.
They see her. They're like, the pretty one.
Yeah. And as we learn later on, you can have sex while you're sleeping. If you're a woman.
We'll talk about that later.
And they did not make that up. That was in the episode quote.
In the episode. I think men wrote this episode. I'm pretty sure. Like 60-year-old white men.
Yes.
And so Rose is terrified. She's always been terrified since there was a scarecrow slasher. They used to slash scarecrows, which is fucking scary to me. Like, that is, like, scarecrows are scary.
In general.
Since that book, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, the scarecrow one. Do you remember that one?
I've heard of it.
The scarecrow, like, came to life at night.
Oh, yeah.
So scary. And so... I think his name was Harry.
Sorry, I didn't get any more scary than the Babysitter's Club mystery series.
Those were scary.
Which did involve kidnapping. I think multiple plots involved kidnapping, which is pretty not great since they're babysitters.
I didn't know there was kidnapping in that.
Yeah, mystery. It's like really weird. And by dinner time, everything was solved. Everything was great. And the kids returned
home. The kids were home after being kidnapped. What?
It's the same thing. Like those books and like the boxcar children.
Yeah. Like they're homeless children.
Yeah. Living in a boxcar. Fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Did they solve mysteries too? Or they just like almost got caught living in a boxcar.
I mean, they couldn't even solve the mystery of let's get the fuck out of this boxcar.
How about
we go to the government for help?
Yes.
We have to raise each other.
Right. In a box cut.
How can we make her life non-dreary?
Like, I really want to reread that book now, or just one of the books, and start highlighting and putting notes in it and be like, why would this happen? Yes.
Right.
And this is why I'm not a book writer, because I'd literally be like, what? No, stop. We're done.
I couldn't write a book because the whole time I'd be like, this could never happen.
Right.
No, I mean, like the whole premise of the series, just like, okay, you know the ending of Grapes of Wrath where they almost die in that boxcar? Let's make that a series for children.
It's a sequel. Yeah.
Sorry if you have not read Grapes of Wrath. It's pretty depressing.
Yes. I actually have that. Like, I went to John Steinbeck. I went to, like, they have like a house or something, and I went and got a book there and it has a seal on it. And I was like, well, which book do I want? And I wanted Mice and Men, but it wasn't there. It's like Grapes of Wrath.
So you read Grapes of Wrath?
I've read it, but I didn't read that copy because I was like, I don't want to be depressed again. I really wanted Mice and Men.
You can just watch the movie.
I could.
It's
just
like a bunch of sand blowing everywhere and people are sad.
Yeah.
The movie's cheerful.
And so this was kind of weird. Like at the beginning, in the other scene, Rose is like, I have to sleep on the right side of the bed.
Right.
And then Blanche is like, I need to sleep on the left side, which he wasn't. But when they go to bed in that scene in Blanche's room, Rose gets into the left side of the bed.
Right.
And there's no issue about it. And Rose sleeps on the left side, on the right side.
Are they? I guess maybe it's like dependent on, because if you're looking at the bed, it's the right side. But if you're laying down,
because I was thinking about that, and I was like, audience wise, the viewer is the right side of the bed would be the side where Dorothy and Sophia were.
Right.
But so when Rose says, I want to sleep on the right side of the bed, is that side.
She's like, I mean, side. Stage right.
Stage right. Right. Not even stage right. Like right side for the audience.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, and so when they go to, so she's like, I need to sleep on the right side. Mm-hmm. And then, it just doesn't make sense when they go to bed then that she doesn't complain about it.
Right.
And then Blanche is okay with it too. Anyway.
They spent a lot of money on the lightning. So they could have to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe she wants Blanche to be closer to the door. So if the prisoners come in to rape them, they'll get to her first.
That is true. Or she wants to be closer to that like outside door patio thing so she can escape faster.
They should just escape that room. That room was god awful.
The convicts would be so confused over all the leafery.
Like, are we in a jungle? Is there a monkey? Like, where are we? Indiana Jones?
I'm just gonna stab somebody. I'm so confused.
Start stabbing a pillow.
Swinging a knife. Oh man! And so then it was kind of like bitchy of Rose to insist that Blanche tells her a bedtime story. She's like, she even says, tell me a story. She's like, tell me a story, like yells at her to do it.
Yeah.
And Blanche tells her a story and it kind of fucked up. Also, she like also, yes, you're like a 55-year-old woman.
Right.
That needs a bedtime story.
Yeah.
That's also insane. First of all.
Well, you're now that you guys said this theory about her traumatic childhood, like it's all starting to make sense because people in general that have traumatic things happen to them often revert back to childlike behavior.
They regress to being a child.
I guess it makes sense. I'm still annoyed with her.
Maybe like when her husband died, she just stopped being an adult. Yeah. She's just like, I can't handle this. I'm a baby now.
I'm just going to eat chip beef now. And demand that people tell me bedtime stories.
Well, not even that. So Blanche starts telling her about the Goldilocks thing. And then she's like, no, I don't want that one.
Yes. She's so rude.
Yeah. I was like, I'll be like, lady, or, well, it's my, beggars, it's my can't friend. Be choosers. Yeah, exactly.
Listen, you got to take the story you're going to get.
Right. First off, you're in my bed.
Right.
And demanding.
Where she wanted to masturbate.
Right.
Right. Well, apparently she did not. Convict.
She apparently did not enjoy Billy Joel, which we found out.
Right.
Yeah.
But so she doesn't Brinkley like being fucked by crazy looking guys.
Mm-hmm. Big eyed. Is it like big eyes? Does Billy Joel really have that big of eyes?
He doesn't have that.
The writers thought he was like David Bowie.
I mean, maybe.
The writers just fucked this up.
They're like, nobody's going to look this up. How can they?
How can they?
I'm pretty sure Billy Joel is the exact opposite of David Bowie. Like, I think.
No, yeah.
Yeah. I'd say, like.
Super.
In coolness.
Not gay.
In so many ways. Also, like, Billy Joel is, like, 5'5", and I feel like David Bowie is, like, 10 feet.
10 feet tall. Yes. Whoa! Yeah. 10 feet.
So, like, I don't know how you mix those up.
So Blanche tells her a story about elephant dolls that lived with a little girl named Rose. Mm-hmm. And then the elephant dolls got pissed at Rose, so they left. And then convicts came in and killed her. And then Rose freaks out and goes into the closet. As she has in the first episode of The Golden Girls, ran into that closet before when Dorothy threw her in there. And that's in the credits also.
Right.
Yeah, she's like, who throws in it? And so
it's time to get out of the closet, Rose. Like, 2015. 2015, everyone can get married now. Enjoy. Right.
I think Blanche would have wanted someone in the bed with her just to snuggle with.
Right.
And then Blanche sort of like turns off her alarm angrily. Did you notice that? She was like, she just like got angry and then she just slammed with her finger her alarm. Like, I'm sleeping in now.
Right.
This is bullshit.
I bet like, Blanche had, she was probably expecting somebody.
Oh,
probably.
She was putting on some makeup and getting.
And then Rose had to listen to
them have relations.
Somebody come in and
she's like, this is still better than Goldilocks.
Sorry, that just reminded me. Earlier in the episode, Blanche was like, talking about the sailor.
And she's like talking about it in a motel, and then you have to like after you have alludes to having relations with a sailor. And I'm thinking like, hey, how old is the sailor? Because like, sure, get you whatever, but the sailor, like, you're not a 6-year-old man walking around like a sailor.
The sailor is like 22.
I mean, as long as it's legal, that's fine. But like, I was just very like, how old is this guy? And how old were you? Like, you were married? Like, I just like, I've another podcast you guys have talked about this. Like, when did like this whole slut-tatious thing happen?
We have talked about that. Like, she has all these slut stories.
Right.
But she was married most of her life.
Right.
So like, was she cheating on her husband? There's episodes where she says she has never.
Right.
But then there's episodes where she jokes around that she has.
Like, I mean, if you're hooking up with a sailor at 65 and he's 22, that's fine.
Right.
But like, just say that then. Yeah. I don't know. Don't let me miss like half the episode.
By the way, he was 22 and I was 55. Just so you know.
Or she's lying. Or it's just like an ex-sailor or, you know. There is a problem with her timeline.
Right.
Definitely.
It could have been before. Like, I don't know.
It could have been the day before.
I'm getting married tomorrow and you're shipping off to sea. Let's have sex. That's the horrible
impression. Vagina's vagina to some sailors.
Oh, they have to port themselves somewhere.
Man. And so, so that scene ends. They're back in the kitchen. They start talking about how Dorothy and Sophia sleep pretty good together. And then Sophia's like, no, what about that time that you had bronchitis? And so it goes into this whole bronchitis scenario. And this is in Dorothy's room.
Right.
And this one was kind of weird. Like, okay, so Dorothy's sick. And then Sophia's been watching her for 3 days to make sure she's okay. Which I think she could do from her room. Just come in and check on her. You have to sit. Is she having seizures? I don't know. Like
if she, I understand if she had a seizure or like she had some sort of like she was dying. But like, you don't need to be sitting there like a creep.
Right. Like sitting there just staring at her. Mm-hmm. Like, that's super creepy. And so I was confused with this scene because the whole thing is about sleeping arrangements. And that's not a sleeping arrangement. That's your daughter being sick and then waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no issue with. So that for me was just like, didn't make sense. So I have a theory that this episode was sort of like a bunch of like rejected scenes that didn't make it.
Yes, I would agree. That's a great theory.
And then they just put him fucking together in a pot.
Uh-huh.
Because like the whole train scene, which is next, like that's so specific, you know, and like there's so many specific scenarios, like the jet, like the prisoners, like it's almost like they, not even if they didn't shoot these scenes, they at least wrote these scenes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then that one sort of fell into the category kind of.
Right.
And then they try to put it fucking together.
Yeah, because they do that thing that like sitcoms do where it's like they're like, remember this time and then that time? So maybe they're like, well, we want to go on vacation early, so let's just do this.
Look, there's a bed.
Right.
Let's call it a day.
Remember when old ladies look great together? Let's do that. Which this... also too, like how, like I understand in real life they're the same age, but like in the series, how old is like Sophia and
so I'll tell you, everybody is around 6 years old or older, except Sophia, who's I think in her late 40s, and in the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they just put a bunch of makeup on her to make her look older.
Right.
But in the show, they started off as late 50s, early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But after the first episode, they're like, we can't be that old. And they decreased their age by like 5-7 years.
Okay.
Which doesn't, because when the show starts, Dorothy is about 56 years old. And then at 7 years later, 7 seasons later, she should be 62, but she's like 59.
Uh-huh.
And so it just, she never grows.
Right.
Right. So the ages are, they don't match up.
Right. That's why I get confused. I'm like, how old is your mom? And why are you so dependent on your mom taking care of you at 50 something?
Yeah. She's like 57. Yeah. 57 at the most in this episode.
Right.
And like, you can't take care of yourself.
Right.
And if your mom wasn't living with you, what would you be doing?
Right. I actually talked, so I watched this at my parents' house, and afterwards I talked to my mom about it. I was like, Mom, I mean, if I was living here and I was sick, you would still take care of me. She's like, yes, but then you're also a grown woman, so you could go walk to the bathroom and do that. And I was like, okay, cool. Just wanted to confirm. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's I mean, when my husband and I are sick, like, we don't like watch over each other like the entire time.
Like, hello, how's it going?
Yeah, it's like,
I've been sleeping here next to you for 3 days.
Yeah. I mean, that's about it. Like, can I get you an aspirin, like, occasionally or something like that? Or, you need an ice pack?
You get them food. You know, you make a meal for them every now and then.
Yeah. Right?
But you don't, like, hover over them, making sure they don't die.
Right.
Right.
Of bronchitis.
Of bronchitis.
Not writing, like, notes down for the doctor or something.
At 7:32, they let out a cough that was really deep.
Like, literally, Sophia's like, I've been watching and giving her a guilt trip. I've been sitting here watching you.
Right.
And Dorothy, you know, like, anybody would be like, I'm sorry, you're being considerate.
Right.
You should get a life.
Mm-hmm.
Or Sophia, like, and I kind of thought about this, like, maybe she's doing this because she wants money later, or she has a debt that she needs to
she's a gambling debt.
Something is going on that she has some bad news to tell Dorothy, like, well, I took fucking care of you,
right?
You need to take care of this.
I've got this gambling debt.
Right. Like, she lost, like,
her, I went on a heater.
I lost your car in a bet. Sorry, Dorothy.
But that's, like, amongst the many things that Sophia says, just in general, the series, but especially this episode, it might be just certain of those comments, like, really hit home. Or not home, but just, like, really, like, this is super weird. Like, we should address this. It's just one of the many things she does that nobody addresses. They, like, gloss over the fact that she's been watching over for 3 years, that she was engaged to her brother, like, so many weird things.
Oh yeah, they did say that. I was engaged to my brother for a short amount of time.
She shared a bed with her two brothers, and she was engaged to one of them.
what was that proposal like? What? Like, Sophia, I really love you, and you won't have to change your last name. I mean, and I could give you a good life. I mean, it's pretty much like this now. Mm-hmm. Our children will be fucked up, but I love you.
Well, we've been sleeping together for the last...
I'm pretty sure that it was Uncle Vito who's coming to visit that was staying with her. So, like, I'm kind of like... Because she didn't react to Uncle Vito coming.
Right.
She wasn't, like, excited or anything. Mm-hmm. So maybe Sophia, like, should sleep with Uncle Vito, rekindle some love.
Yeah.
Some incestual love. They can share love.
A bed. That's why she didn't want to share a bed with Dorothy.
Yeah, she's like...
Mind blown.
She's like, Uncle Vito, take your shirt off. Ooh. Don't pour linguine on me.
Also, like, why do you have linguine everywhere? Like, where you're rolling in it?
And so that's, and then there's this whole issue of, like, germs being, like Dorothy was sleeping on that bed for 3 days, sick. Mm-hmm. And then Sophia just lays on it and passes out.
Right.
Like, you're not. And then Dorothy just, like, covers her with her fucking sick ass blanket.
Yeah. Like, bronchitis, bitch.
Bronchitis. You're not. Yeah. You're not going to get sick, ma. Yeah. Ma.
Ma.
Ma. And then she just takes off. All right. I'm good.
After giving her a very big monologue, including
about Miss Doolittle.
Miss Doolittle. And then you rub it on her chest.
Rubbing, like, her fucking food goo on her chest.
Yeah.
And ruining her doll. Right. Like, she just has issues with that Miss Doolittle. And so that scene fucking ends. And that was, like, the weirdest scene.
Yeah.
And so we haven't even gotten to the train scene.
I know. This is not
okay. Oh, we got to talk about the next. Though we got to talk about the that comment little, that Sophia
yeah, that
makes.
Line.
Yes. Okay. So this scene, they're back in the kitchen. And Sophia, she says, how exactly does she say this?
Is that right?
She says, something about her husband.
She was just pretending to be asleep.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that's, she used to do that with her husband because apparently she thought Dorothy was going to fuck her. And so she had to pretend to be asleep. And then she says, like, men are built that way.
Well, but first she says, asleep.
He would do it anyway.
Asleep, awake didn't matter to him. And then men are built that
way. Men are built that way.
I saw that on, was it Good Morning America? Was some reporter on the Today Show? On the
Today Show. And so there was an anchor that did a demo on how men can fuck women sleeping.
Like, even in 1987, this is uncomfortable. Because I mean, I guess it's supposed to be a joke, but nobody was laughing.
Right.
And it's just like,
it was not a very...
I do want to see that report on the Today Show. Just like,
hey, guys. So we're going to show you here. We got this dummy. You know, men are, by instinct, going to have sex with women, sleeping or not. And so we're going to show you here today with this dummy here wearing pajamas.
As I have sex with it
while it's sleeping. That man... His basic instinct is to just fuck, regardless of the woman being awake or not.
It's if he just doesn't, and then she wakes up pregnant.
If he doesn't get to fuck her, then he'll just murder everyone. Yes. You don't want to do that as a lady. You don't want to deny him. It's just science.
Yeah. Men are built that way.
Which explains now, like before I thought it was just a bunch of drunk men writing this episode, but it explains that segments had to be written by other people because that was clearly written by a man hater. Yeah. Like, this is how men are built. They're the worst. Here's why.
Or a man who was like trying to justify all of his rapes.
He's like, he was an ex-murderer.
I'm
going to
put this in Golden Girls. That way, when I'm in court, I can just play this.
Right.
And then
so many people take the Golden Girls into court.
He's like Judge Kennedy. This is clearly the 80s. Like, look what's on Golden Girls. How can you tell me I'm wrong?
Men are built that way. Sophia Petrello said it.
Yeah.
Blue balls are a very dangerous condition.
Or they're gonna show their wife. Like, you better listen when you're sleeping. I'm gonna go in there and have sex with you.
Yeah.
Not going. I have.
Right. I have.
And you know.
And whoever wrote this also wrote about being engaged to your brother. So he's like totally pro incest.
Right.
Right.
And so, there was a sex cousin joke. Well, later at the train station.
Yeah, the sex cousin. So incest, gay incest.
Right.
And then rape while sleeping of your wife.
Right.
Like, this just is not the best thing.
No, but that thunder and lightning.
The thunder and lightning was on cue.
On cue.
On mark.
And you get an Emmy, and you get an Emmy.
This episode was just Emmy-licious. So. Oh, man.
So the train.
And so they're like, and then they talk. So then they brush that off.
Right.
Also. Oh, whatever.
She's a crazy
Dad
lady.
Dad fucked you while you were sleeping.
Yep.
I was a rape baby.
That's cool. And they had jazz hands to get out of the sea fight.
Right. Jazz hands. Oh, man. And so Blanche is like, that's something about sleeping, and that's not as bad as sleeping in the middle of a train station. And then Sophia calls her a slut.
Right.
Reflecting the train station. And so then they go to the flashback of Edna. Edna died. Edna McCarthy's funeral, which was somewhere in the hillbilly Appalachian Mountains. Mm-hmm. They had to go to, like, the middle of the U.S. to go to this funeral.
By train.
By train.
No planes.
No
cars.
No cars. And so they... They're at this train station, and they're going back home from the funeral, and they're all devastated. And So they missed their train, advised by the gayest, like, station master.
Who did you say that he looked like?
He kind of looks like a gay, effeminate Southern Steve Buscemi.
That's what it was. Yes.
Yeah.
He looked like me. To me, he looked like Don Knotts and
He had some
Stuart Smalley.
He had some
from
DK in him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like some Don Knotts and DK and Stuart Smalley had a baby, and this like atrocious gay man came
right.
out.
Right.
And he is sassy as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
As fuck.
And his shit runs 30 minutes early.
Yeah.
I'd be so mad. Like,
he's out of control. Yeah, those trains are out of control.
Right. Like, you're running for trains. Like, you're running to catch things. You're like, I plan my whole day to be on time. And you're going to decide to run 30 minutes early. And again, they just brush it off. Like, it's no big deal. Like, nobody throws anything. Right. Nobody yells.
That's what they do in Appalachobee. That's the name. The fictional town. This does not exist. Appalachobee is not a town.
You're like, let's put a bunch of syllables together.
Yeah, Appalachobee.
Hi.
And this is where, I would be pissed if I missed my fucking train.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And there's no hotels in this whole, city, apparently.
This woman just died in hell.
Yeah. Pretty much.
They have to sleep in the forest. Right. Or nothing.
Nothing.
And so then Rose is kind of like really on his level of ridiculousness. She's like, he says that the town seal is our trains leave early.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like they're, yeah, like that's not a thing. You made that up because you fucked up.
Right.
You guys are just, yeah. And then, but for Rose, she's like going with it. She's like, oh, that's cool because that's something that they would do in St. Olaf, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's, so she's like Appalachobee is like the St. Olaf of like the Rocky Mountains. It's mm-hmm. just like, so they get into, they're like on the same level. And then even Blanche is like, I think we walked into a twilight zone in Rose's mind.
Right.
That actually exists.
I'm just shocked this place has train service. Right. For real.
If you think about it, they should open a hotel. And here's why. If your trains are going to run 30 minutes early, then people are going to be stranded. And you could make them spend money to stay at this hotel.
Right. That would be the smart thing to do.
Right.
What that guy think? I think that guy is just lonely.
Right.
And wants people to miss their train. So he has somebody to fucking
he's definitely
talk
lonely.
Shit to.
He's I need someone to be sassy at.
To play like solitaire.
Right.
And just make snarky comments about how they shouldn't be in a nudist colony.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was super rude. Which, by the way, like her outfit, like this is Dorothy's outfit, was the following: a Cosby sweater, but not all the way. It was like a poncho slash like
half wrap.
And then she had a tie on, bomb ass shoulder pads.
Yes.
And then a maxi black maxi skirt. And she's all like, oh, she makes a side comment to Blanche, like, you're a slut. And then she's like, I want to be on a nudist colony.
I've always wanted to be nude.
Yeah.
In a fucking resort somewhere.
Right. Well, cover yourself up some more, apparently. Right. That's what this guy was saying.
Which is so out of Dorothy's character for her to say that. Because they were talking about like things you want to do before you die.
Right.
So she's like, I've always wanted to be fucking naked, like in front of a bunch of people. And then the guy,
you live with three women, do
that. Yeah, you can. You can make that happen.
Oh man. And then Dorothy does like the gay incest joke because she's like, because he says some big pots should belong in the back burner. Like, dang girl.
Right.
He like is a sassy man.
By the way, I mean, I've never been to a nudist colony, but I've seen Real Sex.
Right.
And they've featured nudist colonies, and they're all basically people that look like B. Arthur.
Yeah.
Like, B. Arthur would be, like, a model.
The hottest guy. I mean, girl. Oops, that came out non-intentionally. Nah. She's the hottest girl.
I mean, whatever.
She's a nudist colony 10, for real.
Right, she is.
She's like, after this Cosby sweater is off and this tie, look at this, babe.
The Arthur.
Though maybe her concept of nudity is very, like, she's like, I've got, like, one shirt on.
Yes. But she must be burning up because they're still, like,
7 hours from Miami. That's what they said. Yeah.
Right. So it's warm. They're like probably somewhere in the, well, they're in the Rockies.
Yeah.
Right. So
the Rockies?
Yeah. Appalachian
no,
Mountains.
No, those would be like, that would be like North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Like Tennessee.
So that would be not 7 hours from Miami. No, not by train.
Not by train, no.
No. But it's a...
Amongst the many things.
I thought it was like a backwoods... Maybe it's... I thought it was like a backwoods town because it's called Appalachobee after Appalachian Mountains.
Which is on the East Coast.
Right. So that doesn't make sense. Why is your town called Appalachobee if it's not in the Appalachobee?
They're too busy running 30 minutes early.
Right.
They're too busy. Maybe it was a bullet train. It was some bullet train that goes
Track 19 is a bullet train.
Goes to this terrible little town.
And then they decide to fall asleep at the train station because they need to. And then this creepy clown comes in, which I didn't understand, like, why they said that the Sarasota train was a clown train to Sarasota. So why are they getting off at Appalachobee if the train is going to Sarasota and that's the clown train?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just like, are they taking a break?
Yeah, maybe it's like a stop. They're coming down south.
Do people get off on a train when it stops somewhere?
No, when it stops somewhere, you stay on that train.
Yeah, you don't like, because you'll...
Yeah. They have like diner cars and like sleeper cars and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So...
People get on the train.
Right. Well, we did like when I was younger, our family did a road trip from like Chicago to New York. And then we thought it'd be cool. Well, my dad thought it'd be cool to take a train from New York to Chicago. It's a 20-hour train. It was a train from hell. And it was so cold because my dad thought he had booked like a private train or private part of the train, but we hadn't. And so so basically we had to sleep with like newspapers covering us because it was so cold and like that we had nothing. And my mom was like, this will be great. We were sitting in front of a black choir of, and then the stereotypical ladies that you see were being very stereotypical, which I don't want to say, but that's what they were doing. And it was 3 a.m. They're like, girl, I remember when we used to dance or whatever they said.
What?
And I'm like, this is the worst train ride ever. I would have loved to gotten off.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then they lost our luggage. We had no clothes in Chicago.
Oh, no.
It was so sad. My dad tried really hard. It was a great time, but just not the train ride.
Oh man. That's a great train story.
Oh yeah.
All
now
these sassy ladies.
Sassy lady. And I was just like, I mean,
I
like,
remember.
I remember. That's all, literally every story. It's like, girl, I remember. And then continued
You're
on
like
with
the
it.
Golden Girls.
Right.
Every time I've taken a train, which hasn't been often, being kind of out here in the West, there's not, surprisingly, there's not that many trains out here anymore. I've always had somebody crying in the same car. At one time, I took the train from New York City to rural New Jersey. And there was this girl the entire time that was talking on, breaking up with her boyfriend, it sounded like.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, very loudly. And then she gets off, and then she's getting off the train, and she's like, well, I'm getting off the train. I love you. And hangs up the phone. She's like, oh, yeah. Well, now that I'm not around strangers who are listening to my entire conversation.
Now I can go. Now we can be in love. I'm glad we worked this out during this trip. I was going to be really bored if we didn't.
Right.
When I was little, we took a train to Guadalajara from Mexicali in Mexico. And we were like going through the fucking jungle. Mm-hmm. And apparently there was a goat in the front of the railroad track. And the conductor decided to stop because he didn't want to kill the goat.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Who knows if the goat lived or not. But the train almost like veered off like in a fucking jungle because of a fucking goat. Like, I'm sure that Mexican conductor was not trained or had very little experience.
Yeah.
And just freaked out.
He just likes goats.
I remember just I was like 8 years old. Maybe like 7. And I was like crying. I was just like, are we gonna die?
When I studied abroad and we took a road trip, and they said, I was in Australia, and they said, like, if you see a kangaroo in the middle of the road, just hit it. And so we're like, okay, huh, what are the chances that's going to happen? So we saw a kangaroo in the middle of the road. And my friend's driving. It's actually, so I'm, the reason why I'm here in Arizona for in July is for my best friend's wedding. So she was the one driving. And I was like, Crystal, you have to hit the kangaroo. She's like, I don't want to. I'm like, Crystal, otherwise we're going to be stuck in the outback. You have to hit the kangaroo. So she hits this kangaroo and it like took off the front of our bumper. And it was really sad.
Did the kangaroo die?
Yeah, we heard it like underneath our car.
Oh no.
It was sad.
Oh my God.
Is that what you should do?
That's what they told us, but like other people,
I've told that was going to attack you?
No, because it's like if you veered off or something, like in you could get stuck in the middle of the road.
Squirrel, like, yeah.
You could damage the car. Like that's what we were just going by what we were told. Like we were like, just hit it. And then they're like, oh yeah, like a deer. And then I've told the story to many people. They're like, no, that's, you shouldn't hit deer. Like it will damage your car more. And
like, yeah. Like that's, so I think someone just had it out for kangaroos.
I guess shit. So. But we're going to listen because like we're thinking, you know, we're in the outback. They told us to do this and we're Americans. Like we don't want to be stuck in, I mean, Australia's not a bad place, but you know, you don't know who's out there. Like right. just irrational fears. Like,
hey, we live by Mad Max rules out here.
Yes. This is martial law.
Yeah.
We don't live, marsupials live.
If you see Tina Turner, you hit her.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we were like 20 years old. We're like, sure, that sounds great. Let's listen to everything this person says, not question anything.
That is out of control. Oh, man. So these clowns come in and it's super creepy. You hear the train stop and I guess this clown just got off really fast,
right?
And but then decided to slow down so creepy and stared down at Blanche. Like, and then Blanche is like, Rose, you need to take your makeup off before you go to bed.
Of all people. Blanche. Yes.
Right. Blanche says that. It was like caked on.
Okay.
And so all these clowns come in, circus people, and Rose is freaking out. She's like, the circus is here. And so
after the worst day of her life.
She says like, this is the worst day of her life. They're not friendly clowns.
No.
Rose wants one of them to like entertain them and he's like, screw you lady, I'm on a break, and he smokes a cigarette. Super. Yes. Yeah.
Which I imagine would be most clowns. I think this is before like mass clone, like clown phobia, like came into light.
Probably.
Like, yeah, I think people were in the dark about
movie,
it.
It.
Yes.
I just ruined it for everybody.
And this clown smoking a cigarette because he can. Gives zero fucks.
He might as well just lay down in a train.
Yeah.
Taking up four seats.
Okay. On the damn red line.
Four seat bucko.
What a great clown.
Floppo. And so then it's the last scene. And they're in the kitchen. And they're like, well, we're tired. We're going to go to bed.
Cooked an hour and a half meal.
Yeah. We just sat here and talked for like 3 hours.
Right.
While eating. And then Russ is like, what are we going to do about the situation? And then problem fixed in a heartbeat. Just like, right. How about we just get a Holiday Inn hotel and
just
pitch
chilling
in.
Chilling at the Holiday Inn.
Just, yeah, and they'll stay there and it's fine and it'll be okay. And
we just wasted 2 hours of our life.
Right. they're gonna pay for a week long at the Holiday Inn for two people.
Right.
Yeah. So they're gonna spend like
so in episodes that they have money trouble, we can go back to this point.
Right. Yeah. They do have money trouble all the time.
Right. So well, like 1987, how much do you think a room is?
At a Holiday Inn?
Yeah.
Probably $50.
$50.
That's $350.
For a week. Yeah. That's
$350.
Yeah. For two people, that's $700.
Well, it'd be one. Oh, are they paying for one or two? We never knew that.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think they get two double beds.
Or the
they could just cuddle You're together. Like,
so how do you know
Dorothy or Paul?
Dorothy, they room together.
What was the uncle's name? Uncle Vito was engaged to Sophia. So we were engaged. We were engaged in love.
to Sophia for a little bit.
Wait, but how did you know her beforehand? We were siblings.
We slept together.
Right. I was like sick. I was like 20. She was like 40.
Yeah. But later she'll be 30. Like, just how we do things.
Oh, man. And then, yeah. And then there was this part where Blanche talks about Floppo and how his feet were big. And
God, that was a poorly delivered joke.
Poorly delivered joke.
Yeah.
And it was a dick joke.
Gotta be honest. I think that was like the forefront of like his feet are big, so his dick is big, like jokes.
Like
so. Back,
like that's where it was like at its peak.
Yeah, but you could just tell Blanche is like gonna say the joke when she's all like, "Well, you know what they say about a guy with big feet, right?"
I forget what the punchline was. It was like a twist.
Yeah.
Or they just said, "Yeah, we do."
Yeah. Dorothy said she did. Rose said she did not, and they just kind of left it there.
And she just kind of like laughs and is like, "Yeah, I got fucked like crazy by a clown
with a big dick."
Yeah, Floppo flopping his dick
all around.
All around.
He was all Floppo.
Oh man!
Before Viagra, guys.
And then
how old is this clown again? Like, it's just happened. And why is a 50-year-old clown?
When did she meet this clown?
Right. Well, apparently it happened the last 2 or 3 years. So if we say she's 55, there's a 55-year-old clown walking around. Like, you made poor life decisions. And this is why you end up in a bed with 3 other people, that one which you're married to, and Charlie's taking care of you. Full circle.
Full circle. It does not make sense. No. Does not check out.
No.
Oh man. And so then they're fine. They go to bed. They actually finally go to bed.
In their own beds. Forever and ever.
Yay. We did it.
Yay.
Oh, well, thank you so much for doing this, Maria.
Oh my gosh, this is great. I love it.
So this comes out in July 22nd. So do you have anything for Chicago listeners?
Oh yeah. So if you're in Chicago, I perform at the Chicago Improv Den. We're taking a break, but starting August 8th, every Saturday at 10:30. I'm part of Food Truth, but there's Bronze Metal also performs with us, and a special guest, part of the Chicago improv scene. It's really big names sometimes, and sometimes it's people that you should see in general. Guaranteed a laugh. If you're in Arizona, I won't be here, but go to the Torch Theater because I love them.
Definitely. They're friends of our show. We've had Jose Gonzalez and Bill Bynum.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Clifton. I love that man. Clifton Carpenter. Gray. Oh, Amy. Yay. Mm-hmm.
And where can people find you online?
They can find me on Facebook if they want to, but more importantly, they can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Maria Konopkin, which is KONOPKEN.
Ooh, okay, cool. Yeah. Yay. Very cool. And Genevieve, where are you going to be after July 22nd?
Well, I'm going to be in Europe.
Ooh. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Genevieve Rice for super braggy posts about Europe. follow me for jealousy. I'm helping to put on a new comedy festival called the Big Pine Comedy Festival in Flagstaff. Ooh. And it's going to be stand-up, improv, and sketch. It's the first year. It's going to be October 7th through 10th. And we're looking for people to submit. So if you want to submit, I guess this is coming out the 22nd. You'll still be able to submit then.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But I'll be the late fee.
It'll be
the later fee.
Yeah.
Yeah. After the 14th. So go to BigPineComedyFestival.com.
Yes.
Excuse me. All right. And did you say your Twitter handle?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I always miss because I look at my calendar while you're talking. I always forget if you said
it or not. It's like, wait.
I'm like, wait, what did you say? Okay, and so I'm at Anthony DeSamito, and that's AnthonyDeSamito. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find, I'm having a show at the Taffy Room in Stand Up Scottsdale, August 1st. I'll be featuring for Danielle Arce, who's super funny. And before that, Roberto Rodriguez is going to be on the show, but he's going to do this after the fact. But July 28th, you can find him at the Laugh Factory.
Yay.
And he's amazing. Check him out.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Really, really funny guy. And along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. Yeah. And it's Thank You For Being A Podcast as an acronym, TYFBAP, at TIFBAP. And you can find us on Twitter and also Instagram. You can find us on Facebook.com/ Thank You For Being A Podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, or any other platform you used to listen to us today that we're not aware of. And the next episode is season 2, episode 18, and it is titled Forgive Me, Father.
Oh no.
Daddy issues.
Oh, no. or big daddy or back.
Priest issues. I don't know.
Big daddy.
Blanche's dad. All right. We did it, guys. Yay!
Gonna stuff a chicken. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken down to Mississippi.